with me for just a moment. Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness, not just to us here sitting in this room, Lord, but to all of your people for all generations, the generations that have already come and the generations that are still to come after us, Lord. You have been faithful. Lord, I just pray this morning that your word would be heard, that your heart would be heard through what it is you've given to me to say, given the message, not just for me, but for everyone who would hear this morning. Lord, anoint your scripture, anoint your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. Apparently there's some announcements. Did I miss announcements? Okay, I feel like I should do announcements this morning. Just kidding. Anyway, you know, that song, I wasn't expecting that song. And isn't it kind of fitting for where we are today? First Sunday of 2021. Hallelujah. And as we were singing, as Mandy was sharing, and as we were singing, I couldn't help but think about my prayer journal. Now, I'm going to tell you, I haven't always journaled. It's a new thing I've started doing. So if you think, oh, I should start journaling, that would be a good resolution, do it. But don't give yourself, sorry, don't put too much pressure on yourself, because I didn't start doing it until I was about middle-aged. But not too long ago, I went back through that journal. And do you remember a while back, most of you probably will remember, we did a prayer thing, the circle prayers, the prayer circle, and it talked about Jericho prayers. This has nothing to do with what I wrote down. I'm going to be honest. Well, I'll tie it in, but that there are those audacious prayers that had like walls the size of the walls of Jericho around them, that it was going to take a lot of prayer and stomping our feet and trumpeting and all of that for those walls to come down. And you guys, in the last couple of weeks, I've gone back and I've looked at those Jericho prayers that I prayed, and they've all been answered without exception, because God is faithful. Now, that's not what we're talking about today necessarily, but I just want to encourage you. If you are praying those Jericho prayers, we all have them. Maybe they're for us, maybe they're for other people. I know that there are folks among us that have been sick and are sick, some critically so. COVID has not been kind to many of us, but God is still faithful, no matter what. Well, we did make it through 2020, didn't we? Sometimes I feel like we made it just barely, holding on by our fingernails, teeth clenched, white-knuckled it all the way through to a certain degree, but we made it. Felt like it lasted about 5 years, didn't it? Man, so let's just everybody just take a second real quick. We're going to take a deep breath in, everybody, and a deep breath out. Did you feel like that on New Year's Eve when it finally hit midnight? I kind of like, thank you, Jesus. We made it. I know I did. I did. So we made it, and now we're here. So how many of you, and I want you to show of hands, how many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? Anyone? One guy back in the back made New Year's resolutions. Well, if I'm honest, I'm going to tell you, I stopped making resolutions decades ago because I didn't keep them. I broke them every year. Never failed. And they were always the same. You know, get in better shape, eat healthier, do this, do that, you know, all these things. And none of them were bad things to want to do, but I never stuck to them, and I got tired of feeling like a failure when I didn't. So I stopped making them. You can't fail at something if you never commit to it, right? Right? So, but over the last several years, at the end of the year especially, I've kind of taken an inventory of the year. You know, I go back, I look through my journal. I look at the answered prayers, and I look at all of that. Look at the good parts, the not so good parts. That's the one thing about the writing down your prayers and your burdens, is you can see where things were rough and see where God was faithful and see some places where he was especially faithful and his blessings were overflowing in spite of the circumstances that might have been going on. And this, when I do this, it allows me the opportunity to just stop and listen. Just stop for a few minutes. It's hard for some of us. It's hard for me to just stop. Although this year has helped a lot with learning how to do that. But then I listen to what the Lord might need to tell me about the new year going forward. Not making resolutions, combination of resolution and revelation. That's that could be scary. But just what he is trying to teach me and challenge me, maybe even rebuking me or just flat out loving on me. And so rather than making a list of resolutions, I try at least to listen to what God is trying to tell me he wants for me and from me over the next days and months and year. And while it's for very different reasons, the Hebrews, the Israelites, found themselves at a place where they were taking stock, at a place where they had to make a choice for their way forward. Now, it wasn't New Year's Eve, necessarily. It wasn't a new beginning as far as a calendar event. But if we look at Joshua 24, 8 through 17, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, we want to look at this choice that they were given. It says, Joshua is speaking, and this is the Lord speaking through him. Finally, I brought you to the land of the Amorites on the east side of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I destroyed them before you. I gave you victory over them, and you took possession of their land. Then Balak, son of Zippor, and I'm probably going to get some of these names wrong, just so you know ahead of time, king of Moab, started a war against Israel. He summoned Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to him. Instead, I made Balaam bless you, and so I rescued you from Balak. When you crossed the Jordan River and came to Jericho, the men of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave you victory over them. Amen. And I sent terror ahead of you to drive out two kings of the Amorites. It was not your swords or bows that brought you victory. I gave you land you had not worked on. I gave you towns you did not build. The towns where you are now living, I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you never planted them. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse serving the Lord, or in the NIV it says, but if serving the Lord is undesirable to you. Oh man, how could serving the Lord be undesirable? And yet, it's in here for a reason, right? But if serving the Lord is undesirable, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Amen. The people replied, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Reading this, I had to just stop for a minute and go, really? They were serious. They were not joking around. They were not being sarcastic. They were serious. And they were saying, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. The word of the Lord. So before we get too far into this part of the story, let's get a little bit of background. Joshua had been a young man in Egypt when Moses, with the help of his brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, led the Israelites to freedom toward the promised land. Okay, we know that story, right? It's in Exodus. Along the way, Moses stopped at the mount and received what we now know as the Ten Commandments, while the people convinced Aaron down below to make a golden calf. Well, upon arriving at what would be the promised land to them, the land of Canaan, 12 men, Joshua being one of them, they were sent ahead as scouts or spies, they've been called. They weren't spying like we think of spies. They weren't like CIA kind of thing. They were just scouts to kind of get the lay of the land and see what it looked like and what was ahead for them, what battles they may have. And if you remember the story, you'll know that when the spies returned or the scouts returned, only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, were in favor of taking the land from the Canaanites. The other 10 felt it would be impossible to take the land because it was inhabited by giants. Not only giants, but there were giants there. And the people listened to those 10 and decided not to do it and then complained. Isn't that funny? And then complained. So they did not take and possess the land that God had given them. The land that God had promised them, they chickened out, basically. They chickened out. Okay. As a consequence, the Lord decided that anyone over the age of 20 at that time, throughout the entire nation, would never see the promised land. Now, Caleb must have been either a little under 20 or he was the exception because he was faithful and he did believe that God would give them the land that was promised. Well, the Hebrews, as we now know, wandered around the desert for 40 years. Now, the trip from Egypt, I didn't know this for a long time. The trip from Egypt to the promised land, the land of Canaan, is not a long trip. Walking, it would only take a few days. Well, walking at a normal pace, it would take me a little longer, but just saying. But still, it was just a few days, maybe a week, you know. And yet, the people, when they got there, from when they left point A and got to point B, they were already, they had just seen all the plagues. They had just seen the Passover, the angel Passover, the angel of death pass over their people. They had just seen all of these things. And yet, just a few days later, even with a pit stop for Moses to go up on the mountain and get the Ten Commandments, it hadn't been that long and their memories were so short that they had already rebelled and said, "We're not going to do it. We can't do it. It's impossible." Okay? So here they are, because of their rebellion, wandering around for 40 years. Well, now that 40 years is done. All of the people who had been 20 or over at the time that they had reached Canaan, prior to possessing the land, have all died. Okay? And the Hebrews, under the leadership of Joshua, have now crossed the Jordan River. They've conquered Jericho. We just talked about our Jericho prayers. They marched around the walls, and the walls just came down. They didn't even have to fight. They just fell. Now, that could be an engineering issue. No, it's not. It wasn't an engineering issue. It was God that did that. But they've defeated all those other enemies, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all the other ites. And they've divided up the land between the 12 tribes. So everybody's got their plot of land. They are settling in now, okay? And Joshua is finding himself approaching old age. He's getting up there now. And God has given him a message for the people of Israel. He recaps all that God did in leading them out of slavery, the slavery of Egypt, all the way to the land he promised them, and all the blessings that he included in giving them in the land. That brings us to verses 14 to 17. And these are some of the final words that are recorded Joshua saying to the people. And he's pretty straightforward. He says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, or if serving the Lord is undesirable to you, then choose today whom you'll serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, me and my house is more familiar, we will serve the Lord." The people of God are standing at the beginning of a brand new opportunity, aren't they? a fresh start, a new year, a new beginning. It might be a little bit of a stretch, but I'll tell you, this last year has felt a little bit like wandering around in the desert, hasn't it? Not really sure what's going to happen, not really sure how long we're going to be under these restrictions, our COVID restrictions, not knowing how long it's going to be until this pandemic, this virus is brought under control and we can go back to normal, whatever that's going to look like eventually. It has felt a little bit like that. And just like we look forward to 2021, they were looking to the future and they had a choice to make. It was almost like making a resolution. They could choose to continue worshiping the false gods of the pagan cultures that they had conquered, or they could worship the one true God. Either or. Not plus and, or this and. It was an either or. Did I say that right? I hope so. They could get rid of their idols and offer consecrated sacrifices to God, or they could serve these false gods. Joshua very pointedly tells them that they can't have it both ways. They can't keep their little house idols of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the this-sites and that-sites and worship God and offer sacrifices in the temple. They can't have both. They can't ride the fence. There's no fence to ride. It's either or. Joshua then makes a declaration that as for him and his household, his family, his wife, his kids, his servants, anyone who came under the protection of Joshua as the head of his family, they were going to serve the Lord unequivocally and unabashedly. Well, being presented with the choice to serve God or to serve these idols, the Israelites responded in verse 16. They said, "We would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes." For 40 years, they had manna show up every morning. Now, for some of them, that might have gotten to be old hat and just normal for them. But that was a miracle. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan River, it stopped. They had to start picking fruit and hunting for their meat, right? There's no more quail showing up. There's no more manna, you know, coming down with the dew. God had performed that miracle every day for 40 years, okay, right before their very eyes. And as we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. In that moment, when they were presented with the choice, in that moment, they chose to serve the Lord. And they had every good reason to do so, didn't they? The blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing that they had received for those 40 years, going all the way back to just their exodus out of slavery and oppression in Egypt, and the 40 years that they wandered, in spite of their rebellion, God was still blessing them every single day. And now they've come to the line in the sand, so to speak, says, "Who are you going to serve?" They said, "We will serve the Lord." They had to get rid of their idols so they could offer consecrated sacrifices to God. Oops, sorry, wrong page. There we go. So they were given, in this promised land, they were given houses that they, thank you for laughing. I appreciate that, Linda. I do. So they were given houses they never had to build. They were given vineyards they never had to plant. They were given crops that they didn't have to till the soil for. They were given everything. It was handed to them. And if you remember back in the story when the spies go into Canaan and they come back and say, "There's a land flowing with milk and honey." It was a sweet land of abundance. And it was just handed to them. They chose to serve God and to give him their entire devotion and worship. Well, we're not going to read it. We're not going to look at it. But down a little farther in verses 19 to 21, and this is a Jude Engle paraphrase, so if it reads different in the Bible, understand. But basically, Joshua warns them and says, "You know what? I get it. You want to serve the Lord, but I'm going to tell you. You can't go back to serving those idols. You cannot go back to trying to have it both ways, because God is a jealous God. And all these blessings you have right now, as you're choosing to serve him, they're going to go away if you rebel. Just saying. Okay, just saying is not in the Bible. But that's, in essence, that's what Joshua is saying. Just saying. You have to keep serving him if you want to enjoy the blessings that he's bestowed on you. And the people, though, they responded emphatically that they would serve the Lord. There's exclamation points in the Bible after that. We will serve the Lord. And as a nation, they did for quite a while, actually. But that's a whole other sermon. Okay, so we won't start that this morning. So here we are today, the people of God, standing at a threshold of a new year, a new beginning. And honestly, we have the same opportunity today to choose who we're going to serve. Will we continue to serve the idols we've created in our lives? Well, you might be asking, well, what idols? I don't have any idols. I don't have statues at home. Maybe you do. I don't know. But, you know, I don't have any idols. I'm not worshiping anything else. But it was explained to me a long time ago that anything in your life that's more important to you than God becomes an idol. It can be your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, your children, a job, a hobby, your home. Say, how can a home be an idol? How many of us know those folks? Maybe we are one. Who spend more time, affection, money, and devotion on their house and their yard than they ever give to God. You know, we need to care for the blessings God gives us. But there's a difference. There's a line, and we don't want to cross it. But a hobby or an addiction even can be an idol. And dare I even say, even the church can be an idol if we make the busyness of serving in the church or the building and all that it contains more important than loving God with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you. I know I've done that before. I've been more committed to serving than I am to the person that I'm serving, the God that I'm serving. I've been more committed to being busy doing the Lord's work than I was in my relationship with the Lord. It's really easy to do because those are good things. We're doing them for good reasons, and we're blessing people, and we're working for the Lord. But if the Lord isn't our first priority, loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors, ourselves, it doesn't matter what we do at church. It doesn't matter. I didn't come today to yell at anybody. Okay? And I've said this before when I've preached. Any sermon I preach is preached at me first and foremost. Okay? This is the Lord challenging me this year. And I'll be honest, I didn't get a call from Pastor Michael till Thursday. Not his fault. Just is what it is. And I thought, Lord, do I resurrect an old sermon? Or is there something else you want to say? Is there something you want to say to me? Is there something you want to say to your people? This sermon was written pretty much yesterday and this morning. This is the word of the Lord to me, folks. His admonishment of my life. So if you're feeling like I'm yelling at you, I'm not. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you, though. Just maybe. Anyway, just throwing that out there. Just saying, that's right. But we are given a choice today. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the other stuff, all the other stuff that comes along with living life on this planet? Or are we going to serve the Lord, the creator of this planet and all that is around it and in it? Well, there's a number of churches this morning that they're participating in what's known as a covenant renewal ceremony. You know, a covenant, we've learned about this before, and maybe this is new for you, but a covenant is a vow that you take. It's a promise you take that can't be broken, okay? Not without consequence. It can be broken, but not without consequences, okay? And it's something that John Wesley is the theologian that we take the bulk of our doctrine and theology from in the Church of the Nazarene, okay? But he would do this at the beginning of each year in his congregations. Now, we're not going to do the whole ceremony. It's long. It's long. You know, in the 1700s, they had all the time in the world, didn't they? But what we are going to do, though, is we're going to pray the prayer that's been used since the 1700s. It's a prayer of choice. It's a prayer of covenantal commitment to God. A prayer of submission and obedience to anything and everything God asks of you. Now, I know the Lord has talked to me this morning. As I've stood here, the Lord has talked to me. He's revealed some things that he and I need to get straight. I'll be honest. Maybe he's talked to you too. And maybe there's some things that you and the Lord need to get straight. Some places where you know you need to commit to him or recommit to him. Possibly. If that's you, and if it's not, that's okay. That's okay. But if that's you, I invite you right now just to stand up and join me in the prayer that's on the screen. There it is. Okay. This is Wesley's covenant prayer. And if you will pray this, even if you're not standing, if you mean this, pray this out loud with me, okay? I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all the things. Let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen. Thank you for your graciousness to me this morning. I was a little nervous coming back. I don't know why, but it's like coming home. I get you. I get you, girl. Anyway, but I want to leave you with this blessing. As we take our worship, our praise, and our prayer from this place into our daily lives, may our lives be sustained through the love of our Heavenly Father. May we feel the presence of our Savior walking beside us and know the power of the Spirit both in our actions and in our words. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.